Hello, and welcome back to Sit Podcast. My name is Maya. This is the podcast about living life spiritually. Okay. Hi. Welcome back to another episode. I am recording this in my sauna. It felt like it might be a good sound environment, but I don't actually know. So I'm going to record this and then we'll see how it goes. It might be a little echoey, and I'm also doing it on my lapel mic instead of my other one. So bear with me. Hi, how you doing? Hope your day is going well. Hope you're hydrated and feeling nourished in all the ways. I'm going to do an episode today on spiritual fuckboys. That was a topic that I was talking to a client of mine about, and I put it out on Instagram if that would be a funny topic to talk about, and so we're going to do that today. Just because I think that as spirituality gets bigger, trendier, I think, you know, now it's like officially trendy to be spiritual. There are people who use it in inauthentic ways. So that's kind of what I'm going with. And, you know, of course there's spiritual fuck girls too. There are absolutely women who use it in ways that are just, you know, showy and like, oh my God, look at how spiritual I am. But really the like inner work isn't happening, and that's fine. That's a great place to start. I'm not like throwing shade on anybody's process, because I think that any spirituality, even if it's not the most deep, is better than none. I think that, you know, wherever you're at, however much you connect to it, even if it's like buying the spiritual looking thing at Urban Outfitters or whatever, you know, and trying to decorate your apartment cuter with like more plants and crystals or something, that's fine, whatever, like wherever you're at, that's great. But the piece that I wanted to talk about with the spiritual fuckboys is where it becomes problematic. And in the dating world, especially if you are dating men, and this goes into like a whole conversation about like the patriarchy and masculine energy and things like that, which I don't know if we'll go into for this episode, but if you are in the dating world and you are spiritual and you're trying to date men, it can be tricky to find men who are actually walking the walk and not just talking. So I think, you know, a lot of influencer men in the spiritual world, I kind of view as spiritual fuckboys, that they're using spirituality as a play, kind of. That's, I guess, what my definition of a spiritual fuckboy is if they're using spirituality as a play to get women or to seem better than other people, like a status symbol. For all of time, people have used different things for status symbols, right? Like wealth or physique or whatever. And especially, no, I don't want to say especially. I don't even think that's true. I think it's men and women equally. But women kind of have their own feminine wiles too. Lean on, and I think men utilize different external pieces to create a character, kind of. Women, of course, do too. But, you know, I think you see this in, like, bros all the time, like, traditional fuckboy bros using, like, sports or, you know, drinking or finances or cars or whatever to validate their existence and like as their character, right? Like we've all met the guy that's like super bro-y and just his entire personality is around, you know, the football game and drinking beers and hanging out with the boys, you know, like that kind of person. And I don't know if that's an authentic human, honestly. Like, I don't, you know, if somebody did really, like, a lot of inner work, I don't know if anybody's, like, true inner essence is football watching, beer drinking, but it's something that they've created as their identity, which is a valid identity, and it's totally fine. My issue is, like, when it's just not authentic, and when it becomes toxic, kind of. So in the spiritual realm, what does that look like? What are spiritual fuckboys? How can you tell if a spiritual bro is authentic or not? I've had so many friends date guys who initially show interest in spiritual things, or, you know, are like, oh, that's so cool that you do yoga and journal, whatever. Guys that do yoga, or guys that have read, like, a couple books, or, okay, my least favorite is guys who are really into Joe Rogan. I feel like if a dude is really into Joe Rogan, like, not that Joe Rogan had, like, some of the content is good. He has really good people on his podcast. He has great, like, guests on his podcast. But in general, if that's, like, their main source of information is Joe Rogan, I'm like, dude, I can't hang with it. Or, you know, if they're really into, like, the feminine healing and holding space for the feminine, but then when you're actually one-on-one with them, they don't hold a safe space or a nurturing space or an open space. I think a lot of times there can be this almost like sexual manipulation where guys are like, oh no, I'm just open and free and I want to hold space for the feminine, and really they're just like non-committal, and they don't want to be in a monogamous relationship. They don't want to do the work. They want to, like, have open sexual encounters with women, and so they're trying to create a space where women feel safe to, like, express themselves sexually. And then beyond that, they bounce for other, like, places of work, like, deep internal work, I mean. And that's, like, the fuckboy aspect of it, right? Is, like, they're not using other things to sleep with you, but they're still using spirituality to sleep with you, or to, like, connect with you, or to get things from you, or to date you for a little while and then stop dating you, or whatever. But one of the biggest things, when I was talking to my client about this, one of the biggest things that I said was a, like, red flag as far as the authenticity of a male spiritual guy, a male spiritual partner, is how much he holds space for your healing. So, for example, my client was, like, she's trying to be more celibate or more focused on her internal space because she's, you know, gotten distracted, as we all have, by, like, sex and love and, you know, validation and things like that. And so she's trying to take a little bit of space from that. And she was going on a couple dates with this guy, and he was like, oh, I love that. I'm so glad you're doing the celibacy thing. I'm doing that too. That sounds great. And that might be true. And I told her, I was like, okay, if push comes to shove and he's pressuring anything or inviting or really, like, opening the opportunity for it at all, then everything he said before was just a show. It was all fake, right? Like, if he can't honor the fact that she's trying to heal and she's trying to do this thing for herself, and he won't be like, hey, no, we said we're not going to do this, like, hold you accountable, this is your healing, this is important for you, if he can't do that and he's like, oh, just this once, just a little, da, 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 that's where the fuckboy stuff comes into play. And it happens so often that there's this, you know, deep emotional connection and trying to, you know, really feel into each other, and then, oh wow, this is just so unique. I think we probably should take it to the next level. I just need to experience what it's like to be physically intimate with you in order to be emotionally intimate. Blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. I hate that. And it's a play. It's just super duper totally a play. And it's a play like anything else, right? It's, you know, going and meeting your mom and being really nice to your mom and then, like, going home and using that, like, as a way to get laid, right? Or whatever. Opening the door for you just so that you get a, you know, you have to kiss him. Buying you a drink so that you feel obligated to hang out with him all night. It's all of those things that are, you know, transactional. If a relationship is transactional, that's a problem. On either end, right? Like, it, women do this too. They like keep score of things and then use it as transaction, or they withdraw sex as like a punishment. They do this like negative transactional thing, and none of that is good. A relationship should not be transactional. It should be something where you feel open and vulnerable and accountable. Also, your partner should push you to grow and expand and feel safe enough to do that, and like they're not gonna abandon you if you don't put out. And a lot of people aren't even like familiar with what that would feel like to have a relationship where somebody is genuinely just there for growth with you and with themselves. So yeah, spiritual fuckboys, I would say, you know, generally as a super like broad category, when I'm like meeting a spiritual man for whatever reason, friendship, whatever, when I was dating, whatever it was, I get the most concerned by like spiritually forward, like they lead with their spirituality, white men specifically. I don't know why. I think, you know, white men have just caused so much damage in the world that there's like this inherent lack of trust there. And I'm a white woman, so I'm not like, you know, obviously immune to that whole realm. But a white spiritual man who has like co-opted certain phrases or, you know, things like if they talk about their masculine healing or their divine feminine or, you know, their sacred sexuality or their tantric practices or etc., etc. And, you know, they have like their mala beads on and their yoga pants and their man bun and blah blah. There's a, I would say like a 30-70% chance that they're authentic. Like 30% that person has done the work. They're really in it. They're feeling their way through life in a spiritual way. They truly connect. They have practices. They're on their own healing journey. 70%, they're trending their way through it. And, you know, in 5 years, if the next, like, fad comes along, they'll jump ship in order to be whatever they think society is looking for in them. And, you know, at the end of the day, a spiritual journey is a healing journey. So if a person, any person, is talking about being spiritual and their number one piece within that isn't healing themselves and others and the world around them, then they don't know what they're talking about. And that's like very harsh. But if they don't have a great intention for healing and they don't have practices in which they're healing their shadow aspects, their core wounds, their limited beliefs and patterns and all those different kinds of things, then that to me is a signal that they don't really know the depth at which they're speaking to. And then, yeah, then I just kind of like lose a little bit of trust in them. And there are that 30% of men who are incredible and doing so much work. And my partner, you know, he's a white spiritual man. And to be honest, I still always kind of have my feelers out. I'm like, are you lying to me? Are you suspicious? And he's not. I fully have faith that he's on his healing journey. And he shows me that over and over and over again. But when I first started dating him, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I trust it. You seem like you could be playing the game a little bit. And luckily, I don't feel like he is. He's somebody who has constantly been working on himself in a way that I trust, and he holds a lot of space and compassion and love for me as I work through my challenges constantly, because that's the process. So there's the 30% out there that are beautiful and amazing, wonderful men. And, you know, in all men, there's a masculine wounding from toxic femininity, right? Like, we women, the feminine, emasculate men and wound men and continue a cycle that keeps men thinking that they need to overperform or put on masks or stay, you know, stoic or whatever it is. So this is by no means saying that, like, women are off the hook here. This is just for the sake of this topic. And vice versa, right? There's toxic masculine that keeps the feminine wounded. And I think that that's where, like, the fuckboy, like, hit it and quit it once the spiritual talk has, like, worked. And then you get to have, you know, sex with this woman or connect with this woman or whatever. And then leave, and then not, you know, not leave in an expansive way, right? Yeah, and honestly, like, I think there's a lot of influencer men out there that are problematic. I think there are a lot of women too, like, spiritual influencer women who are not on the most authentic journey with that, and they're using it for, like, clout or whatever. But men, you know, who are really focused on manifesting physical things, men who are really focused on, like, the masculine healing from the feminine, but that just ends up looking like, you know, blaming and shaming and talking about all the toxic traits without, like, uncovering deep-rooted, like, ancestral work and shadow work and somatic healing and emotional expression and things like that, as well as, you know, spiritual men who are too far down the rabbit hole of just relying on, like, plant medicines or only, you know, hot yoga, and they never lean into, like, easeful practices that are, like, you know, men that are forcing their way through it. They're trying to, like, brute force spiritual awakening. That is a sign that they don't understand the duality, the need for balance there. And yeah, this is such a random topic, but I think it's very real. If you're, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're either a spiritual girl or woman, because most of the listeners are, or you're a man and you're on your spiritual journey. And I think it's also good for men to know, like, okay, what is not a great trajectory on the spiritual path? How can you make sure that you are in alignment? Because I don't think, you know, there might be some men who intentionally do this stuff, but I don't think most men are intentionally doing it. But I think it's good to know, here are the pitfalls, here are the areas that men can get caught, or that masculine energies can get caught in putting on display, putting on show. And if any of these things resonate, if you're a man and you're like, ooh, I've done that, then that's, you know, just an opportunity for greater healing and greater understanding and greater shadow work. And if you're a woman and you're like, oh my God, I totally know a guy like that, or I've known a guy like that, or I'm dating a guy like that, who talks about all of these spiritual things, but you don't feel, like, truly safe, truly able to be vulnerable, truly able to let go and receive and surrender as the feminine life force that you are, then you know, just something to look at, something to validate that people need to be doing the stuff that they're talking about. And a lot of times we can spiritually bypass, we can pretend that we're doing the work when really we aren't, because it's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable to do this work. And I'm currently in the process of, like, my own deep feminine healing, in the pursuit of then being able to heal the masculine more. Right now I'm about to start a 10-week course for women called The Maiden Rites, that's all about understanding the foundations of feminine and women-centered wisdom, rite of passage for women, and the feminine essence, how to, like, you know, commune with our bodies and use nature and use our intuition and have good boundaries and understand how to use our sacred rage and all these different things. I'm about to start. If you listen to this before, what is it, February 19th, that's when we start. If you listen to it before then, you can still enroll. I would love to have you. It is only for women at the moment. But part of my hope with this course is this 10-week course is going to be super profound in feminine healing their feminine. And that's all also in the pursuit in my mind of feminine being able to soften away from their toxic femininity and help to heal the masculine wounds as well. And you know, in the future, I kind of have maybe an idea of holding a feminine, you know, being a female, holding space for masculine healing also, because I think there's a lot of like male to male healing, a lot of female to female healing. And I think that there needs to be some crossover that can be a little bit sticky and tricky, but that's my intention. Is right now I'm pouring my energy into healing the feminine because that's where I'm at in my life. And I want to help other women to reclaim their wisdom, their sovereignty, their fierceness. And then, you know, from that place, we can start to express and expand into masculine healing because it's all wrapped up together. Anyway, kind of tangent, but that's all just to say that, you know, none of this is the be-all, end-all. This is just like a silly topic. And it's all information on how to heal a little bit deeper, how to invite more authenticity into your life. So I hope you enjoyed. I hope the audio came out okay. We'll see. This one might be our last sauna recording. Yeah, again, if you're interested in the maiden rites and you're a female, you know, usually like generally geared towards women under the age of 40, but it's great for any age if you just want the foundational building blocks and you don't feel like you got an appropriate rite of passage into your feminine wisdom. This would be great for you, and I would love to have you so much. I would truly, truly cherish that. So reach out. You can go to my website, mayarain.com. And then the enrollment page is mayarain.com/maidenrights enrollment. And you can follow me on Instagram at Maya Rain. I'm also still seeing clients. I have some space for some new one-on-one clients, whether that's, you know, male or female. I'm open to whatever. And yeah, let me know if this was an interesting or helpful topic or if it was just dumb. I don't know. But I love you very much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all your support always. Yeah. I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.